Hey everybody, welcome to Game Goose. Today is June 22nd, 2021. This is Season 3, Episode 3. Hello! We missed last week because Neil was moving back into town. How you doing, Neil?
Let's not blame last week on Neil moving.
That's true.
Last week was just all of us gathered on a deck after dinner going, we could record, or we could just be friends in person for a little bit. And we chose the latter, and it was nice. I'm doing great. It's good to be home. I'm in my very echoey office. I don't know if you guys can hear that, but I'm working on it.
For sure. We got to get you like real cushy rugs and stuff. Tapestries.
I'm really good.
Good to hear. Clinton, how are you doing, bud?
I'm doing well. I worked from home today, so that was nice.
Nice. Yeah. Before we start, if you have any ideas for shows, anything like that, email us at gamegoosepodcast@gmail.com. What have you folks been playing?
Oh, I mean, actually, not that much. Because I haven't had time to. I think all the usuals, Apex among them. But I think the only thing I really got into that's worth talking about is Hollow Knight. You know me as a Souls-like fan. Mainly, I mean, I do like Souls-like, but there's stuff I don't like about them, which Hollow Knight does, which is like, I never know where the hell I'm going, and no one really tells you. I just live for boss fights, and Hollow Knight delivers those, and they're very fun. The art style, I've had a couple false starts on it for the reason I just mentioned. They really just drop you in, and then you start going, you know, down, and you're a little bug, and you're going through, like, you know, tunnels and underground, and it's very platformy, and kind of it's also a
Metroidvania.
Thank you. And Metroidvania. So some of the platforming aspects don't really appeal to me, but they're not as bad as, say, like Cuphead, where they're super platformy in boss fights, and it's super important that you land where you want to land when you want to land there. It gets a little more just combat based than most of the bosses I've fought so far, but the music's great. The art style is great. The story is less cryptic than other Souls-likes I've played. It's been really fun, and I will get back into it. It's just I just haven't yet.
Yeah, I've given it a shot. Just most Metroidvanias aren't for me. I don't really enjoy like backtracking and using, you know, things that you got in front to go back. So.
Oh, and I get lost in it, so I can't imagine what you would be like.
That's true. Although you get maps and 2D spaces aren't as bad for me, but. Clinton, what have you been playing?
A little bit of this, a little bit of that. I've been just kind of bouncing around through games. I'm at that point where like I haven't been playing D&D regularly, so I just want something that's, you know, I want to play D&D, and so I've just been spending like way too much time trying to find something that does not feel like D&D, because nothing ever does. But I don't know. I've been playing a bit here of things. Some fishing in Final Fantasy XIV. I tried to play Fallout New Vegas, but just didn't give a shit about it. So I put it, uninstalled it. And I'm sure there's some other things, too. I looked through Game Pass a handful of times and just kind of downloaded things and played them for 10 minutes and then stopped or whatever. But I don't know. More recently, in the last few days, last 2 days, I guess, with the new DLC coming out, I got back into Sea of Thieves. I'm so close to finishing being Pirate Legend. I'm like 42, 44, and 46 out of 50 on the three factions.
Nice.
So I need to just...
What will that get you?
So that opens another faction called Athena's Fortune or something like that. Athena something. But and then there's like a secret hideout underneath all of the taverns and the outposts that you can go into. And then you get like a special outfit and a special title and all of that. And then you can get like a lot bigger like missions and like cooler halls and stuff. So
that's cool.
Yeah. So I'm excited to kind of finally get to that and start doing some of the cooler late game stuff to get some Athena's chests and things and do that. But today, actually, they released their E3 kind of announcement, which we'll probably get into later, so I'll just talk about it.
Yeah. Then. Cool. On my end, I'm kind of in Clinton's boat, just not really finding anything that's hooking me, so a lot of just flying through some Game Pass stuff, playing it for 10 minutes, going, nope, not for me. But I did get a couple things. The first thing I want to talk about is Bug Fables. It's Bug Fable or Bug Fables.
Oh, sorry. I completely forgot, too, but, and I played, sorry, I just...
No, you're fine.
I played for probably, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours the other day, but there's a Factorio... game, Factorio like game that's like full 3D, like first person, called Satisfactory.
And oh, that's cool.
Played that for probably 4, 5, 6 hours. And I got back into RimWorld. I don't know if that was before or after our last episode, but I've been playing a bunch of RimWorld too, just kind of randomly. So. Both of the, yeah, we did talk about RimWorld because I remember trying to describe it.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, so I was been playing a game called Bug Fables, The Everlasting Sapling. So this game is pretty fun. It's, I think it's $25. I use some Xbox monies because they just give me money for playing games in order to buy more games. And it is, if you miss old Paper Mario, this is old Paper Mario. So I think it was just kind of one of those things where somebody missed a game and the original creators weren't creating the game the way they liked it anymore. So they decided to go back and make it themselves. So it definitely has that same kind of paper art style. The writing's very similar. But you have a party of 3 bugs. And same kind of thing. When you attack, there's like special things you have to do to make your attack more powerful. When you get attacked, you can block it. If you played Paper Mario, the N64 one, you know what it is. It's pretty cool and it's good. It's fun. I probably played for like 5 hours. I'll probably go back and finish it when I'm feeling like a turn-based RPG again. But it's pretty simple. It's kind of easy, which is fine. But I think that's kind of why I drifted away from it, was just kind of, it's a little too easy right now. I think I've beaten 2 or 3 bosses, so. But it's good. It's really well done. So if you're itching for some Paper Mario classic style, go ahead and check that one out. I started playing Far Cry 3. I was kind of in the mood for a shooter. So I started playing it's not called remastered. What's it called? Classic. Far Cry 3 Classic Edition. And Neil, you started playing this too as well.
I did. Right?
It's fine. I mean, it's Far Cry and it's Far Cry from, we're coming up on 6, so you know it's a couple Far Cries ago, plus there's like those spin-off ones, and it's the same formula and but with like a little bit worse controls, so it kind of just makes me want to play a smoother Far Cry and have a better Far Cry experience, because driving's kind of janky. There's some really bad audio in it.
Yeah, there's a lot of the, like when you're sneaking around a camp and it's a very stealth based game, you'll hear all the guards just, they tend to just talk about, they have one line. Each camp seems to have one line. Like, some of them is like, I think that hooker had the clap, or it burns when I pee. And it's just all that. And then the next one is like, it's so damn hot. Kill me. Kill me. And it's, yeah, that gets really repetitive. But yeah, I think first of all, it was like $3. So I
yeah,
think,
yeah.
And I have lauded it as one of, I think early when we were talking about our top 5, or at least honorable mentions, I think Far Cry 3 was the first open world shooter that really grabbed me, that really hooked me into almost being a completionist. And, you know, since then, there's been three or four other ones that just do it better. And the remaster is pretty good. So, I don't know, if you've never played one, you can probably get through it. Or if you just have a better attention span than Dan and I. But yeah, I played 5 pretty recently just to play a Far Cry. And there's just so many more things that make that gameplay fluid that 3 doesn't have. But still, for what it is, it's a great game. It's $3 and the story holds up. It's a little weird. The writing definitely got better, but
I do like, my favorite part about 3, and I think I'm not the first person to ever point it out, but you're like a rich kid on vacation that gets captured with his friends, and in the first scene you're like this terrified kid who's tied up, and then you're like running away from the pirates that have captured you, and then you stab one and you're like, oh my god, I've never killed anybody before. And I mean, 3 to 5 minutes later, you are just murdering an entire camp of them like no problem.
Yeah, it suffers from the thing that other Far Cry's have gotten away from. Rather than like putting their main characters in a situation where they just have to become the protagonist or have to do all these big things, it's a lot of like, you are a warrior, Jason, you are chosen. It's all the chosen one bullshit, which is kind of weird, but
yeah, for sure. And it's like, it's in the other ones, you're like, at least you're like a mercenary or a police officer. Like, okay, so this is why this person's good at murdering people. It's not just a random rich white kid. But yeah, I think it's a good remaster. I wish they kind of would have done some of the audio better, but it's fine.
They didn't do audio at all.
Yeah. Started playing a game called Darkest Dungeon. Really like it. It's like a roguelike kind of, I don't know, it's kind of tough to explain, but you go through dungeons, you level up your characters, it's kind of hard, there's a lot of survival, like, weird aspects to it. Your characters can get, like, scared as they go through the dungeon, and it can cause, like, this big moment where they either become courageous or they, like, fall apart. It's fun. It's... The problem is, in between runs, you have to equip your heroes or, like, put some of your heroes in the tavern or the church to like calm down and replace your party with other heroes you have. You usually have this big roster of heroes, and as some of them are like recovering, you get other ones, and you have to unequip items from the ones you've used and put them on your new ones and level them up. And so there's a lot of management, and the way it was ported to the Xbox is poor, because on the PC, you could just click stuff and move stuff around, and it's no problem. In this, you have to like hold right trigger to like open other menus and hold it down while you're moving people around. And I really like the game. When I'm playing the dungeons, it's really fun. But it's really hard to start another run in between, because the like changing of your heroes and equipment and everything in between is really tedious. So I might just go back and play it on PC some more. I had originally played it.
I've only done 2 or 3 runs, and it didn't hook me. The mechanic Dan is talking about is called stress.
Yeah.
And some enemies just have stress moves that don't hurt you at all. They just give you stress. And if your stress meter fills up once, you get some sort of debuff, usually something bad.
You do have a chance to, yeah, have a great
very small chance. I've had a lot of people get stressed out, and I haven't seen it happen yet. Mm-hmm. And then if it happens again, they die of a heart attack. And it's, yeah, there are mechanics upon mechanics, like keeping your torch lit makes the dungeons easier. When it goes low, you get better loot, but all your fights are harder. It's true, and it's just truly a stressful game. It was not fun to like wind down and play it. It is challenging. It is punishing. You are supposed to lose people. So maybe when I'm in another mindset, I'll play it. But boy, it's a lot, and they throw a lot at you fast.
Yeah, this was the second time I had played it, which made it a lot more bearable. So that kind of helped. And then I think as you level up, you can get like buffs. Your characters can get buffs that like make it so, and items that make it so they're less likely to get the negative things when they get stressed out and more likely to become courageous and things like that. So it's one of those roguelikes, again, where the more you play it, the easier it gets in a way.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. It just doesn't, and maybe if I progressed further, it would change, but it doesn't feel like a Slay the Spire, where if you die, it's like, oh, we'll just start again, or a Gungeon, yeah. Or any of those.
Yeah, because you don't just start again, you like can lose all your characters. Like when they die, they're dead. But it's pretty cool. It's definitely a game that there's not, it's like a really hard Oregon Trail. It's a good way to put it, with like scary dungeons. But the best part of the game to me is that narrator. There's the like narrator. A narrator who like narrates what your characters are doing and when they die and when they get stressed out, and he's really great.
He's got a great voice.
Mm-hmm, definitely. So that's kind of it. We have been bouncing around some other stuff, but we've got to get into E3 here. So E3 happened. Was it 2 weeks ago now, basically, since we missed one? So E3 kind of had this weird thing this year. It was all virtual. It kind of was partnered with the Summer of Games, which replaced E3 last year. Summer of Games didn't have a ton of stuff, except for on Thursday. Neil, do you want to talk about what they announced, since it's the thing you're excited for?
Big Dark Souls.
Big Dark Souls. Hey. I like calling it Breath of the Dark Souls.
Breath of the Souls, yeah. They pushed out Elden Ring, and it looks like everything I wanted. They're not changing the formula too much. It looks like they've added horses, which can jump vertically up walls. I don't know. As they want to do, it's all very vague, but it looks like you are some form of, in Dark Souls, it was the Hollowed, the people that are dead but still living and have gone insane. This one, now you're the Tarnished, and there's crazy people that have died too many times, and it's the same formula. It's dark. It's big Dark Souls. It's Dark Souls with a horse, as far as we can tell. Some of the boss designs that they showed off were really fun, and I look forward to getting my ass kicked by them.
And that comes out in January, or at least as of now, right?
As of now, it's January 21st, I believe. So cool. It's not too far away.
Nice. And then they showed a little bit of Tiny Tina's Wonderland, which is a Borderlands spinoff that has like a Dungeons and Dragons like thing theme to it. So those were the two big ones that Jeff Keighley got to show. And that was kind of it. Then E3 began on Saturday. So what were you guys like overall thoughts about E3 this year? Did you watch a lot of it? Did you kind of catch it later?
I watched coverage of most of it because I was doing so much stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched a bit here and there. I only watched the Nintendo one live, and then I went back and watched the Xbox one, but I didn't really dig into it.
There's some stuff to, and mind you, Sony does their own thing now, so no news from them really.
Yeah.
But I think we've talked about gamers' expectations many a time. I think after the year we've had and all the delays we saw from last year, I think a lot of the community was hoping for, you know, like some, and I don't think this is realistic, and I have a part in this too, you know, was really hoping for some bombs to drop. Like, oh, we're back, things are getting normal. What's the next Elder Scrolls? What's the next anything? Like, give us something new. And I don't think we really got that. There's plenty to be excited about. But on top of all that, it's like the first year of the new generation of consoles.
Yeah.
So
it seems like most of the big announcements were for like stuff coming next year.
And that's not surprising.
No.
Yeah, for me, there's a lot of games I want to try. I didn't see that game that I was like, oh, I'm going to love that game. Like, no doubt about it. 100%. That I'm waiting for that one to come out, and that's going to take my time. Most of them were like, I'll give that a shot. And actually, a lot of new IPs and stuff, or just games, or like reboots of games I had never played. So I think there's some interesting stuff coming overall, but let's go through. We won't go through every announcement for each thing, just kind of the ones that are interesting. So Ubisoft was on Saturday. I watched this one. I was pretty lukewarm on it. Some of the big things, they showed Rainbow Six Extraction, which was just Rainbow Six, but you fought aliens together. Riders Republic, which kind of looked like Forza Horizon, except for with snowboarding and like wingsuit gliding and biking. Looked really pretty. They showed more Far Cry 6. They announced a new Mario and Rabbids, which Nintendo accidentally leaked the day before. And their big closer was the new exciting thing. They had one more announcement. You're all going to be really excited. It's the Avatar game. And Avatar is in blue people, not airbenders.
Yeah.
And then they showed a lot of stuff like, oh, they're going to update Assassin's Creed, and we're going to update Watch Dogs and all that stuff. So, is there anything that Ubisoft really showed that got you guys excited?
No, but Ubisoft. I mean, Extraction was the most interesting among them.
Yeah, I was
excited for it, but
I was excited for that. That Riders Republic is cool, but I don't think I'm gonna pay for that. Far Cry 6, of course, and that was kind of it for me.
Yeah, Far Cry 6 felt weird because we already knew it was coming, and we already know what a Far Cry game is.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're not yeah, known for their, you know, remaking of the genre.
No.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, Ubisoft makes their games. They have their four games they make, and they just keep remaking them, and if people like them, that's fine. It's kind of cool that Mario plus Rabbids is getting another one. The first one seemed to do well enough to do a second one, so.
More little Roomba men.
Yeah, I was not crazy about the first one, but good for them. It was just so silly to me that they were like, and our last big announcement, the Avatar game. And I think the thing with Avatar, do either of you know someone that really likes that movie?
No.
I don't know anyone that's like about it.
I think the thing is, it made a crap load of money because it was new technology that showed like really cool CGI. So it made a buttload of money, but I think just like CEOs, people think it's fine. It's looked great.
More than 10 years ago.
Yeah. Well, these are supposed to, I think this one, from what I know, is supposed to line up with like the new movies coming out. Yeah. Apparently they've been working on this game for a long time, but because the movie kept getting pushed back, they could announce it, which is probably good for the developers. But I just can't imagine. I don't know. It didn't even really say what the game was, which was a big problem in general, this whole E3, I think. Then Gearbox was also on Saturday, and they didn't really show anything except for more of Tiny Tina's Wonderland and a couple other small announcements.
And again, that's going to be Borderlands. Like, Borderlands doesn't change.
Yes. Then on Sunday, Xbox and Bethesda had theirs, and they announced ton of stuff. So they started off with Starfield. They showed Starfield first. Again, they didn't really show us much of the game, what it's actually going to be, but that trailer was all done in engine and looked pretty cool. But I'm assuming it's just going to be a first person RPG. Like,
you didn't watch the trailer, you didn't miss anything. You saw a robot get into a space station on the moon, and there's one dude. There's no civilization. They didn't really even show space travel. They were already there. So, a lot of question marks.
It looks more like a realistic science game. Because it doesn't look like Mass Effect or Star Wars with like lasers and stuff. Everything kind of had like a realistic NASA feel.
It was definitely it was straight NASA branded, and not even like what we would expect of modern NASA. It almost looked like decades old NASA.
Yeah, so I don't know, we'll see. I'm sure we'll see more of that. And then 11/11/2022. They love that 11/11 date, so that's exactly 11 years after Skyrim. So, and which there was like rumors flying around that the game was done and it's going to be out like as soon as they announce it, which was obviously ridiculous. They showed Stalker 2. I never played Stalker 1, but holy crap, those graphics looked insane on Stalker 2.
Yep.
So we'll see. And the best thing about all this is like almost every game they showed during their press conference is going to be available to Game Pass users. So Back 4 Blood, they showed a little bit more of that. That's kind of the follow-up to Left 4 Dead. So that looks neat. Coming out in October on Game Pass. They showed a trailer for something called Contraband and said nothing else about it. Just looks like it might be a smuggling game.
Yeah, again, another very pretty and interesting cinematic, but no gameplay, no synopsis.
Nothing. They showed the Sea of Thieves Pirate's Life, or what's it called, Clinton?
I don't know. Probably that.
Yeah, but it's a it brings Pirates of the Caribbean into Sea of Thieves. So yeah. That's come out already?
Yep, came out today.
Nice. Have you tried it at all?
Nope. I sort of played a bunch today, but not any of that. I want to wait and play it with some people and see. That game's just a lot of fun, but it's a lot more fun with other people. So
right. So I saw that it has like Captain Jack Sparrow. Is it like stories like from that?
So it's a campaign. When you go to an outpost, there'll be a lady called the Castaway, just on the island, and she has 5 missions, I think, kind of laid out in front of you, and you go through them one at a time, and it just kind of takes you through a campaign, and Jack Sparrow joins you at some point, and you fight off pirates and the mermaids that are like take you back to your ship when you get too far away. Well, there's like evil ones called sirens, and you have to like fight off their kind of thing. And the like sunken mermaid statues that have the gems in them.
Yes.
There's like a giant one of those that's like projecting like a shield or something, and you have to like destroy that and. Yeah, it's like got a whole huge long campaign, I guess, and you kind of fight through it, and then Davy Jones shows up in the last one, I think, so it should be a lot of fun. I'm excited for it.
You know, Disney is kind of just slowly getting back into the video game market in different ways. I think it's a smart idea to just be like, instead of making a whole Pirates of the Caribbean game, which is
just license it to someone else. Yeah, like good. Game.
Yeah, they've just been lending. They've just been lending their property out.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you have to tell us how that ends up, Glenn.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm supposed to stream on Thursday, so I will be streaming. Probably that. If you guys want to watch,
cool. I will. Is that crossplay yet?
Yeah, it's been crossplay.
They showed Battlefield 2042, which is a new Battlefield, no campaign, just multiplayer, and that game also looked really cool. That's really cool graphics, and actually pushed us to play a little bit of Battlefield yesterday.
We played some Battlefield 4, and it's just the most overwhelming experience.
Carl blew up a building though, and it was cool to watch it fall. I did enjoy that part. But it was a good time. They showed 12 Minutes. That's a game that they've kind of showed at a couple E3s now. I think maybe at least 2018 or 2019. Looks like a time loop mystery game. It's kind of top down. You relive the same 12 minutes over and over, I think, to figure out who kidnapped your wife, I believe, is the thing. I think it's pretty cool. Cool looking. I'm going to try it. It's going to be on Game Pass. I think it's good that it's on Game Pass because I think it's like a $30 or $40 game otherwise. And I feel like it would be a really steep price point to just try something, you know. So I think like it's good for games like this to be on Game Pass because people are gonna be like, oh, a 12 minute game, why do I want to spend $40 on it or whatever. But looks interesting.
I mean, with one third of the community, that's a price I just made up, you know, being able to review it for free, that'll get word of mouth out there.
For sure.
The premise of it looks really cool, so I'm excited for that. It's like a good kind of thriller thing. So
yeah, it looks really neat. I'm excited to try it. They showed Psychonauts 2. I tried to play Psychonauts 1 not too long ago. It just kind of had a little bit old feeling, but it seemed like something I would like. It reminds me of almost like Super Mario Odyssey, like just the big crazy worlds and stuff. So I'm excited to try that game too. It looks interesting.
I'm not gonna play that.
What'd you say?
I said I'm not gonna play that.
No, you're not gonna try it out?
No. It just I don't know. I was telling Neil the other night, I was like, it just seems like way too like
dated.
Yeah, like 90s edgy kind of, you know.
Conker's Bad Fur Day.
I was going to say, Conker's comeback, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll try it. It just looks...
I never played the first one either, but yeah, I don't know. It just seems kind of like not my scene, I guess.
It's also a platformer, so...
Yeah, but I mean, like... Yeah. I'm going to say, again, it's Game Pass. If I don't like it, I can set it down in 10 minutes, so... Then they showed an update for Fallout 76, which made people really excited because they thought there was a new Fallout. It's just showing that next year you go on expeditions. The end of the Brotherhood storyline is coming.
Is that the London thing?
No, Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
So what's the Fallout London?
I think that's a big mod.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I keep like seeing stuff about it. Like...
Yeah, I think that's a big mod that's coming out because Courtney just asked me the same thing. They show the new Elder Scrolls Online thing, of course, and I think they're doing an update for that. Hades is coming to Xbox and coming to Game Pass. I think that's cool. Obviously, a game that a lot of people liked, so more people get to play it, which is always good. Then they showed a little bit on, well, not a little bit, they showed quite a bit of the Halo multiplayer and just a teeny tiny amount of the campaign, which makes me think that they've got the multiplayer figured out and they are still struggling with the campaign. And they did not give us a release date except for saying it's coming sometime holiday this
year. Wasn't that supposed to be a launch title?
Yes, yeah. And people kind of complained about what the graphics looked like during the Summer of Games, and two of the directors have left. So I don't know. The multiplayer looked awesome. The Halo story, I always play through them. If they're good, if they're bad, they're usually okay and enjoyable. But the multiplayer looked great. So I'm excited for that. It made me like very excited to jump back.
I haven't been this excited for a Halo since probably Halo 3. I didn't care. But by the time the other ones came out, like, I'd play them, but they weren't my jam. This had a pretty impressive trailer with some stuff I know I'll never be able to do, but just knowing it's an option, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, the grappling hook looks so neat. Because I think the thing is, one thing about some of the older Halos is the flying vehicles were so hard to destroy. They were really kind of careful about putting them into maps and stuff. But now you can grappling up to like a flying vehicle and kill it. You can grappling weapons. So you can like shoot somebody and then take their weapon from them with your grappling hook. And it just the game, the trailer they put together of just like clips of cool shit happening in the multiplayer looked really fun. And the multiplayer is going to be free to play. I mean, it's, you know, if you have Game Pass, you get both. But I think that's a good move to get a lot of people playing and getting excited about it. So I'm excited. I don't know when we'll get to see a release date. I would not be surprised just the way that this E3 went, with the way they were just like, you know what, we lied. The multiplayer is going to be out this year, but you got to wait for the campaign or something like that.
I would be totally okay with them doing that.
Yeah, me too. I don't want them to delay one or the other for the other's sake. Just because they're Halo multiplayer and Halo campaign are so separate in my brain. They're almost two different games in a way.
Yeah.
Then they announced a Slime Rancher 2. I'll play that. Slime Rancher 1 was fun.
It was a silly kind of just like play it in the weekend, have fun with the game, and then be done.
Yep. They showed a trailer for a game called Atomic Heart, which was made by an Eastern European studio, I believe.
Yeah, well, it looks like
yeah, it looked like a weird kind of Fallout. But just a trailer for it, that was it.
Tell the story about Courtney in that one.
Yes. Courtney watched the trailer with Neil and I twice, because we watched it. You know, we just were going through the Xbox showcase. We watched it, and then we watched it. Top 10 most interesting trailers from the Xbox showcase, and we watched it again. And then the next day, Courtney said, "Have you heard about this Atomic Heart game? I really want to watch the trailer. It looks great." So that shows how much she pays attention. Grounded is getting its first like big major update at the end of this month. So that'll be cool. It looks like a lot of cool stuff. Turn mushrooms into castles. And there's all new kinds of armor and all kinds of things. So it looks like they're finally starting to get some content in there. Microsoft Flight Simulator is coming out for Xbox Series X and S. That'll be fun to play around with. Outer Worlds 2 had a really funny trailer, but also showed nothing, but also made fun of itself for doing that. So, good trailer. Forza Horizon 5 came out, and that trailer and that dive into the game popped it up to probably my second most anticipated game out of all this, next to Halo.
I think just having the amount of time us three sunk into, well, Clinton's actually a racing car fan. You like racing games from time to time.
I like racing cars.
Yes.
No, I do enjoy racing games, but Forza looks so fucking cool.
And the amount of time we sunk into four just going, I'm still having fun.
Yeah, I still pop into four every once in a while because it still looks amazing.
Yeah.
It's one of the better looking games, and it's just fun to do a couple races or just drive around. And there's so many cars.
Yeah, there's a lot of cars. And there's a lot of things to do with them, too.
There's many different kinds of races.
Yeah, there's rallies, there's checkpoint races, there's like loop races, there's drag races,
there's the Battle Royale.
There's, you know, you race a jet, you race motorcycles, you race like all these different things, yeah.
And then Master Chief shows up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's looks great, and I'm really excited for that game to come out. And then they ended.
It looks amazing. If you have a chance to watch any one trailer for any game, go watch that one. Because it was so cool.
And it was actual like gameplay in the trailer. It wasn't just a CGI kind of thing.
And they kind of explained some of the stuff, too. Like, hey, this is what's happening and why this is cool and like. So
you're helping them scout and set up for the festival, right?
That's kind of what it sounded like, or you're trying to expand the festival.
That's what, I don't know. It seems like you're just kind of driving through jungles of Mexico at times. So
yeah, and that was the other thing is like this one looks like there's kind of different, more varied things to
like
drive.
Jungle and a desert and kind of all of the different.
And a volcano.
Yeah, all the different. Yeah, that looks super cool too. All the different biomes that exist in Mexico, which Mexico is a huge place, so there's a lot of different biomes there.
Yeah, it looks really good. I'm really excited for that one. And then they ended with a trailer for a game called Redfall. Just a cinematic trailer. Cool cinematic. But it looks like it's going to be Left 4 Dead, but with vampires.
Yeah, that looks
really
a lot
excited
of fun
for it.
Too.
I mean, again, we all know it's cinematic, and it's the approximation of what the abilities we saw exaggerated in this cinematic to how they translate into gameplay will make or break it. But I don't know, the atmosphere, the mood was really fun, what are they called? Arkham? No.
Yeah, Arkham.
Arkham Studios.
Arkane Studios.
I knew that wasn't right. Arkane Studios has done some great work. So that's definitely one on the top of my list.
Yeah, and they had a bunch of other stuff in between. Those were just kind of the highlights. Showed a bunch of stuff. And I really liked, I thought they had a good show. Was excited for a couple things. I think the big thing was like they showed a couple things kind of early with nothing. I guess like Starfield they kind of had to show, but I wish we would have gotten something a little more about what it was. Redfall I thought was good, but it was a weird one to end on. I think it would have ended with Forza. Like that would have been much better like ending. But yeah, and the crazy thing about Xbox is we didn't see Fable, we didn't see Avowed, we didn't see Everwild, we didn't see Hellblade 2. There's just a ton of games in the works for them that just weren't even shown. State of Decay 3. So it was a nice, long, I think, front-to-back packed show, and still a lot of stuff left from Microsoft to show either during the Game Awards or next year. So we'll see.
Have they done anything with Avowed?
Yeah, they did not show anything from Avowed. Which was crazy because, you know, Avowed is Obsidian. So Obsidian came into this showing us the big update for Grounded. And then they had a trailer for the Outer Worlds 2. That's also Obsidian, but did not show us anything for Avowed. So they got a lot going on at that studio right now. So I wish more people would take the Nintendo route and be like, we're not going to show anything until it's going to be out in 3 months or 4 months. Because there's Xbox has announced so many games here and in the past, and there's a good chance that we might not see any of those games come out.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I think that was kind of they dug down on their own grave with that. I think that's why they ended with Redfall and not Forza, because everybody knew Forza was coming.
That's true.
In one way or another, where Redfall is one of the few things that we didn't already expect.
Yeah, there was some speculation back in the day. People thought Redfall might be the name of the new Elder Scrolls, thinking it had something to do with Red Guards, but obviously this put that to rest. Of course, nothing.
Because they both have red in them. Red in it. Yeah.
Well, people are just so...
We're a desperate group.
Yes. And they showed nothing about Elder Scrolls 6. So, I mean, which also wasn't a surprise. They're going to get Starfield out first, so... Square Enix came. First thing they showed was the Guardians of the Galaxy game.
I enjoyed the Guardians of the Galaxy movies. I just don't see that... I don't know, translating into an interesting or compelling video game.
Yeah, we'll see. It comes out in the fall. It is single player, so hopefully they won't have the debacle of the Avengers game. It's made by Eidos Montreal, which made like Deus Ex and stuff. So it's not like the same one who did Avengers. It's just the Avengers movie was good because of James Gunn and that cast. The Guardians movie was good because of James Gunn and that cast. I'm not interested in the Guardians of the Galaxy as a whole Marvel thing. I'm interested in the MCU Guardians of the Galaxy, which is not. I'm not saying it's going to be bad, but even as a Marvel fan, I wasn't like, yes, finally, you know.
No, I think it's one of those things, too, where that movie works so well because it is, you know, kind of like a breath of fresh air into the MCU because there's no other MCU movies that are, at the time, that were doing, you know, comedy in like kind of not slapstick but like almost verging on slapstick humor and things. And it kind of like opened the door for like Thor Love and Thunder, and is that what it's called? No,
that's the next one. Ragnarok,
right?
Yeah.
And so like I think it like it. Yeah, it was like a good tone shift from like, oh, we're super serious Avengers and like we talk about, you know, the Tony Stark's AI killing everyone in the world because it's gonna save the humans or whatever, like,
yeah,
to like, I can stand still and be invisible.
yeah for sure. Yeah, I don't know, some people said like it looked really good and I thought it looked fine. It looks like a weird kind of shooter brawler kind of thing.
I'm not
gonna shit on it because we really don't know much about it. But the only thing I wanted to point out is that Guardians of the Galaxy, like the Avengers, are a team, and it should be a team activity. And where they, what made them so successful in the movie, and I referenced the movie because most people haven't read the comic books, is that they interact so well or poorly at times with each other, and there's a synergy, which makes me go, why is this not multiplayer? Is it just because you got burned on the Avengers? But I don't want to be a Guardian of the Galaxy alone. I want to do it with a friend.
Yeah, it's weird. From what I saw, it looks like you just play Star-Lord, who is like the least interesting Guardian.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll see what it ends
up being
like.
It's me, Kevin, from Earth, and I got a space gun. Yeah, let's go shoot some bad guys.
Then they showed Peter.
Peter Quill.
Peter Quill.
Let's call him Kevin, though. Kevin Quill sounds like more of a superhero name.
That's true. And they already have a Peter. I don't know why there's so many goddamn Peters. You know, famous Peter Parker. They showed the Final Fantasy remakes, and the only reason I brought that up is it's 1 through 6. They're remaking them, and everyone was so excited because you cannot play these. Like, they're really hard to play on console because you have to either go back get the old console or you can play on mobile. And they're remaking them all for mobile.
What games?
Final Fantasy 1 through 6 are coming out again, and they're remade. They're called like remastered 3D or something, and they're coming out on Steam and mobile. And that is it. And everyone's like, why is this not on Switch? Like, why is this not on Xbox or PlayStation or anything else? So it's just a weird choice for them to only be available in those two places, because they're already available in those two places. So just not remade. But maybe they'll test the waters and it'll come to Switch. But the other big one,
they're going to make all their money from mobile. So
yeah,
like, everyone's got a phone. And
yeah. And people will play them. Then they showed the Avengers Black Panther big expansion. Maybe this is where Avengers will start to turn around. I really liked the Avengers game. The story was good. Neil and I kept playing the multiplayer just because the combat was so fun. But we kept just getting burned by like glitches and stuff. Yeah. I don't really know where they're at.
It was
at
a good brawler. It was a fun brawler. Yeah. But
I mean, being the Hulk and just tossing people around is a blast. And the story's decent, but the multiplayer and like the end game stuff is where that game really fell apart. And then recently they put out the Hawkeye thing, but they put out like 2 Hawkeyes in a row, and it's like that's not.
Let me say, as the resident Hawkeye fan, even I couldn't get through the second Hawkeye. It's like, okay, it's a different version of the same character I just got.
Yeah, and it's like they have a new biome. Which was like a desert, and like that's fun, I guess. I don't know. Deserts are kind of the most gray and boring thing, or brown and boring thing you put out.
And now the bad guy. 4 bosses?
Yeah, the bad guy is Maestro, who's just a future version of Hulk. And it's like, okay, so you just took a character model and grew out his hair and gave him a necklace. It just seems like they were just like reusing assets to try to get something out. I don't know. I'm just so surprised we haven't heard that the plug has been pulled on this thing. And I see advertisements for it all the time. Like on Facebook and on Reddit, it's always just like, play as the Avengers, and they really still are pushing it.
Well, they're still pushing it to people like you who engage with all the Marvel things.
Yeah, that's probably true. That is probably true. But I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I like Black Panther, and it looks like it's going to be a big expansion. So I think letting that game cool off and then coming back with something like this might turn it around, but we'll see. I don't have super high hopes.
They're running out of opportunities.
Yeah, this has to be good. Otherwise, I think everyone's going to... I mean, at least they're all free. It's not like I have to pay for all this stuff. But
oh my God, can you imagine, though? It would have been dead a year ago.
Yeah, I mean, they still push out costumes for the characters like insane. There's so many costumes like every week. And some of them are pretty cool, but it's like, to do what? To go watch my character glitch into a wall? Like,
yeah.
I don't know what you want me to do with it. Then came Nintendo. I was really excited for this one. Overall, I thought Nintendo's was pretty good. They showed Mario Party Superstars, which uses the engine from Super Mario Party, the newest one, but it's over 100 games from the other series and 5 boards from the N64 series, all redone. I'm actually kind of excited for this. I wish there were more boards, but at least they're older boards that are bigger and kind of classic ones, so it looks like fun, and it's coming with online right away, as opposed to having to wait 3 years and having them randomly drop it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Clinton, you like Mario Party a lot too. How do you feel about this Superstars one?
No, I'm excited. I like that they have, you know, boards that have more than 20 spaces on them.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
I'm pumped. Those are like, those first 3 Mario Parties are my bread and butter.
Yeah, I think like 8 to 10 boards is better, or maybe even 6 would have been good. 5 is just like, we heard 4 wasn't enough, so here's an extra one for you.
I mean, it's 5 boards you've never played, and maybe they'll add more. It's a lot of boards. How much does... I know they have 3 Mario Parties, but how many boards do you want in 1 Mario Party?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know. A tad more would have been good, but I think 4 was the lowest I've ever had, and I don't think 5, like, I think the other ones usually have 6 or more, if I remember from, like, the menus, but I'm still excited for it. I even liked, Super Mario Party wasn't even that bad, I just wanted a little bit more, so, I guess the alternative for Super Mario Party is going, this sucks, I'm gonna want more, at least it was good enough to be like, I want more of this, so. They showed Super Mario Golf, which comes out in, like, 3 days or something like that. So that was kind of, I mean, they showed more of it. I'm actually excited for Super Mario Golf as well. I think that could be a lot of fun. That rush mode seems like a blast. They told us that Metroid Prime 4, it was still in development. One of those rare times where Nintendo kind of stumbled, announced something, and it didn't really come out the way they wanted. But they showed Metroid 5 Dread. Know a lot of Metroid people that are super pumped about this. This is a game that has been in development or kind of been talked about for like 20 years. So it's finally coming out. Looks kind of cool. I'm not a Metroid person, like I said, but interesting. I always like when there's like the 2D, 3D kind of thing.
Your headset's crackling, Dan.
Nope.
The average amount of boards in a Mario Party is 6.
Gotcha.
With them skipping in the past.
All right, do I sound better?
Yeah.
Okay. Then they announced WarioWare, Get It Together. We've been really wanting a new WarioWare. I think the Switch is perfect for it. The big thing with this one is that you play as the WarioWare characters, and they each have different abilities. And so every micro game can be used or can be completed different ways, depending on what character you're using. So that's kind of interesting. What did you think about that, Glenn?
No, I'm excited for it. I think it'll be a lot of fun. They announced it weird. They announced it in a way that made me think it was like a remake, but I don't think it is. Like, looking more into it, I don't know if I just like didn't get it at first or whatever, but I'm kind of bummed that it's only 2-player co-op.
That's the whole thing with the Get It Together, is there supposed to be micro games that are like 2 players, and you're each supposed to have a Joy-Con.
So I'm hoping that it's, you know, got kind of the bigger stuff that the Wii one did, where you can pass a controller through and everyone plays through them. But
I don't quite understand when Nintendo went so hard on the Wii motion controls. You know, there were some things that were kind of annoying, like playing a Zelda with motion controls, which is like, I wish I didn't have to do this. But there's a lot of really cool stuff, like Wii Sports and Wii Play and WarioWare. And it just seems like the Switch is so perfect for that, and I don't know why they're holding back on that kind of stuff so much. Because, like, I mean, how fun was it when we were having in our apartment? We'd have, like, 8 people, and we need one Wii remote, and how chaotic would it get? Just
because it was so it was, like, random. It wasn't, like, a set, like, thing. So it'd be someone, like, in the back of the group of 8, like, their name pops up, and they're, like, trying to scramble through 6 people and get the controller. And
while this WarioWare looks fun, it doesn't look like it has that kind of
manic mode. Energy.
They didn't show that. So, we'll see. I mean, in the long run, we can just get out the Wii and put in the old WarioWare. Yeah. But I do hope that there is more of that, that they show more of that, because I want it to be a big, fun party game. I don't want it to be a thing where it's just like, all right, I play through this with a friend.
Yeah, and it seems like they went more from the 3DS WarioWare than from the Wii WarioWare, so I'm guessing it won't be like the Wii one, so it won't have any of that stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer. All right, then they showed, they were saying, we have one more announcement, and I was like, only one more, it's going to be Breath of the Wild. And they were
Advanced
like,
Wars, are you talking about Advanced Wars?
Oh, I missed that one, thank you. Advanced Wars, yes, Advanced Wars, what's it called, Reboot Camp?
Yes, it's got 1 and 2, and it's like a remaster of them, so.
Yeah, that looks really fun. I liked the Advanced Wars, so, kind of a something that people have been asking for a long time. And Nintendo usually does this thing where they do like a remaster or something like that to see how it sells. And if it does well, then they do another one like a couple years later. Like, so hopefully this does well and we'll show them that they went more of that. Then they were like, we have one more announcement. And I was like, oh, it's going to be Breath of the Wild. And they're like, Hyrule Warriors DLC is coming out. And I was like, what the hell? Turns out their one more announcement was all about Zelda, not just one thing. So they showed that. They showed more of Skyward Sword. They're going to do that remaster that comes out next month, actually. They're doing a Zelda Game & Watch, kind of like they did for Mario's 35th anniversary. Plays a couple of Zelda games on it. And he made it very clear, this is what we're doing for the 35th anniversary. He said there is no other games in development for this anniversary except for this. So they made that clear because some people are expecting maybe like a 3D trilogy, kind of like what they did with Mario, or at least Wind Waker and Twilight Princess or something like that. And then they showed a new trailer for Breath of the Wild too. Kind of was really hoping for more of Breath of the Wild, or maybe even coming out this holiday. They said they're aiming for next year. I think they'll probably hit that. There's a whole nother world in the sky. It kind of looks like they're kind of taking some things from Skyward Sword to kind of like floating islands and stuff. And Link's arm is gone. He's got a magic arm now that stops time and shoots fire and all kinds of stuff. So
and he can travel through the floor.
Yeah, he kind of like did some kind of weird, like he turned into water. Like it was kind of weird. But I don't know. What do you guys think about Nintendo's altogether? And what are you excited for? And did the Breath of the Wild thing, you know, make you more excited? Or were you just kind of like, more waiting?
I mean, yeah. That is the punchline of this year's E3. More waiting. But it was all good to see. It was all welcome to see it after, you know, a year of non-news. Zelda obviously looks awesome. And you guys have talked about WarioWare for so long. And I've never played a title that I'm kind of excited for that as well.
Wait. You've never played WarioWare?
Never played WarioWare.
Oh, I'm going to go get my Wii out, like, after this and make sure it's set up. Yeah, we got to get together and play that one so you can see exactly why we're a little more cautious. Because I think when I talked to Neil, he was like, kind of like, why are you guys not doing backflips? And it was like, oh, because the mode we like wasn't shown off.
Gotcha.
Yeah, sorry. Go ahead. But I will get that out. We will play it.
No, I mean, really, that's it. Other than that, no, just Zelda. Of course I'm excited for Zelda, and they're not going to fuck it up. It's going to be great.
Yeah. I think
even if it's more of the same, like, as Breath of the Wild, which it doesn't look like it is. He's got new powers. He's got new abilities and things. Like, it's going to have that same kind of tone of it, I think, of just kind of, like, go anywhere, do anything.
Yeah,
this is the new kind of Zelda,
and for a franchise that doesn't do that frequently changes everything from title to title. If there was ever a game they've made to kind of recycle, it's this one.
Yeah, I'm excited for his arm. When I saw him shooting fire out of it like a flamethrower, I was like, "Oh, cool! Like Link with magic is a Link that shows up from time to time."
Yeah. I'll say this. I hope they have full blown temples or dungeons, whatever they want to call them. I want more than shrines.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I think that the beasts were supposed to be the temples.
Yeah.
They kind of were, but I get where you're coming from. And I could take it or leave it. I'm sure that temples will be back in Zelda at some point, and they've been around for so long. It's not like I'm, you know, hurting for more temples, but I get it.
I like the shrines. I like to be being able to, you know, like pick the game up for an hour, play through, finish what I was working on, and be able to put it back down, and then come back to it and do the same. Whereas
I would be
with
sad
a dungeon,
if they weren't
like,
still there.
Yeah, whereas with a dungeon, it's like, all right, here's 8 hours. Like, you're going to have to put it down in the middle of it, you know, 3 times. Don't forget what you were doing.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the beasts were supposed to be the temples, and
I don't know.
I thought they were kind of interesting because they were different.
Yeah.
But I mean, whatever direction they go with it, I'm going to like it.
Yeah. I don't think. Personally, that dungeons would necessarily fit with the kind of tone of Breath of the Wild.
Especially
exploration, go everywhere, do everything, kind of feel.
Yeah,
of it.
I can agree with that, but I also think, Neil, not to shut down your hopes, But I think the idea of going into the sky is going to shut down the idea of diving deep into like a dungeon or a temple.
There can be sky temples.
There could be sky temples. Sword. There could be sky temples. You're right. Speaking of Skyward Sword, are you guys planning on picking that up, or have you guys played Skyward Sword before?
Yeah, I've beaten it.
So yeah, that's the one I was so close to beating. I might grab it eventually.
Maybe I'll play it and do it motion controls.
Actually, I didn't mind the motion controls. You're just sitting there going, you know. It has some cool ideas, like, you know, the flowers that like lash out at you.
Yeah.
They have, like, if like one's on the wall, like outward, you have to go up and down to attack it, to cut it. And if one's like from the ground, you have to go left to right to cut it. So that's not the only thing, obviously, but that's just like an example. There's like shields that are in certain like directions. So it depends on how. So that was kind of cool. I didn't really mind that too much, especially because it wasn't like, it wasn't like they were asking you to do something crazy. You're just swinging the sword up and down or left and right. Yeah, I mean, I might get it, but man, that game starts slow.
Does it?
Holy crap, does that game start slow?
Yeah.
But that's the only thing that's making me like, I don't know if I want to go through that beginning again, because it's a struggle. But yeah, overall, good E3. Lots of things to look forward to. Even some things that are coming up in a couple months. And then of course into 2022 and beyond. So, I'm glad that E3 was here this year. There were some conferences I was like, I don't even know if you guys needed to do this. Like Ubisoft, just put your stuff into Xbox. You didn't need to do your whole thing on your own. Same with Gearbox. Even Square Enix, like, you know, they just throw into the other stuff, but. Before we go, anything else you guys want to say
today? Game on, bros and broettes.
Yeah.
And gender non-specific bros.
Yeah, and I hope that E3 showed the game that you were waiting for.
I do too.
So, all right, we'll see you guys next week, I believe. Goodbye.
Bye.